We'd ask you also to be much in prayer for the ploughing outreach down in County Leash at the end of this month. We'll be going down to that with the team again. And just pray for that. The Lord will prepare the ground, prepare the area. And the Lord will meet every need regarding that great opportunity to sow the gospel amongst the folk there. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, just with God's word open before us. Let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Continue, Lord, to abide with us, we pray. Lord, fill this house with the glory of God. Take our hearts and minds off the things of time and sense, we pray. Fix our gaze today afresh upon the Lord, upon the things of God, upon the great issues of eternity, and upon the great truths of Thy Word. We pray today that Thy Word would be written indelibly and indeed effectually upon the fleshly tables of our heart. And oh, that we might be like one of old, that we might hide Thy Word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee. Lord, to this end, cleanse me in that precious blood. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God to preach Thy Word. Give words directly, Lord, from Thyself. Lord, help us to be clear and plain and simple, that even a little child might understand, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless Thy people to the Lord this day, to the strengthening of their faith. Bless the word of the Lord to any in our meeting today unconverted, to their salvation. And Lord, use Thy word in all that will be said and done, to the exalting and the glorifying and the magnifying of our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Our text for this morning is verse number 1 of 2 Timothy in the chapter number 2. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now in the Bible, 7 is the number of perfection, or if you like, the number of completion. After the creation of this world in 6 days, we're told how God rested on the 7th day to show that His work was complete and that His work was finished. Thus the number 7 reveals God's perfect plan and God's perfect pattern. And whenever we come to 2 Timothy into the chapter number 2, we have here in this chapter before us a sevenfold picture of the Christian, the child of God. Now, Paul gives this picture to Timothy with that aim of encouraging him to be steadfast in his work for Christ and in his witness for the Savior. He wanted Timothy to press on in his service for God. And this call to steadfastness commences with the words of our text, verse 1. Where Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, and be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, can we say today that this call to steadfastness in the things of God is a call that needs to be heeded by every believer, by every child of God? Why do we say that? Because there is a natural tendency for the believer to be inconsistent, to fluctuate, to be unstable in the things of God, to have the spirit of Reuben, of whom the Bible says was unstable as water. But instead of this, God wants His people to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Dear believer, in our meeting this morning, let me say this. This is God's will for your life and for mine, this side of eternity. My God wants you as a Christian to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is God's plan. This is His will, His pattern, dear Christian, for you to follow as you live out your Christian life until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or until He calls you home to glory. Now, to promote such a testimony, I want you today just to look with me at the sevenfold picture of the Christian that we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I trust that in doing so, that you, dear believer in this meeting, whether you've been saved recently or maybe saved for many years, will be encouraged to be steadfast for the Lord and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might in your life day by day. First of all, I want you to see here that as a son, the believer is to be strong in the grace of Christ. Look at the opening verse, the words of our text. Verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, Timothy was a son in the faith to Paul. And by that we mean that God used Paul. He also used his mother and his grandmother, and most importantly of all, the influence of the Scriptures in the life of this young man, Timothy, to bring him to faith in Christ, to that place of salvation. Yes, God used Paul in this. Paul was one of the instruments that God used to bring Timothy to Christ. He was, as you like, a son in the faith to Paul. But as well as this, Timothy was also and primarily a child of God. You remember what it says about the Lord in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And the day that Timothy repented of his sins, the day he trusted Christ as his personal Savior, he became God's child. He became a child of God. Let me say to you in our meeting this morning, who may yet still be unsaved, friend, let me say this, that if you are to become a child of God, if you are to be one of God's children, then you too must repent of your sins. You too must come to that place of trusting in Christ and resting in His blood alone for your salvation. This is your responsibility as a sinner before God, in light of hearing God's Word, in light of hearing the Gospel. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and believe the Gospel." To become God's child, you must repent of your sins. You must come to trust Christ, confessing your sins to Him, and to rest upon Him alone for salvation. Oh, as the Bible says, you must be born again if you are to become a child of God. And dear Christian, dear believer, it's the same for you in our meeting also this morning. Yes, the day you acknowledged your need as a sinner before God, that day you came in faith and repentance to Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, you became a child of God. You were welcomed into the family, into the fold of God, called out of darkness into God's marvelous and God's eternal light. And that time, whenever it was, wherever it was, when you came as a sinner to Christ, trusted Him as your Savior, my, the Lord saved you. He took you in. And you became one of His children, a member of His family and of His kingdom. Yes, the Bible says, "Behold, what love, what boundless love the Father hath bestowed on sinners lost, that we should be called the sons of God." Oh, Christian, remember today you're a child of God. You're one of the sons of God. And as His child, Christian, God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow spiritually by resting upon His grace. As it says here in this text, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." God wants you to go forward. He wants you to grow spiritually, resting upon the grace of the Lord in your life. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." My, you can grow in grace by feeding your soul upon God's Word, by giving yourself to prayer, by fellowshipping with the Lord and with the people of God in worship, and by serving the Lord day by day. Oh yes, as God's child, dear believer, God wants you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, as a son, the believer is to be strong and the grace of Christ. That's the first picture we see here. But notice something else. Secondly, as a soldier, the believer is to be steadfast and to be disciplined. Look at what Paul said further to Timothy in verse 3 and verse 4 of this chapter. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You'll notice there in those two verses how twice over Paul mentions the word soldier. And as Paul here was writing to Timothy, he reminds him of this fact that he was chosen in Christ to be a soldier for Christ. To be, if you like, a Christian soldier. Believer, we learn there from those two verses that if you and I are to be good soldiers for Christ, it says we must be those who endure hardness. In other words, Christian, you must be steadfast for God in the face of trial, the face of adversity, and the face of conflict. Study the life of Paul, you'll see that he endured much hardness for Christ and for the gospel. Turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And notice what he says, rather, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And the verse number 23. Look at what he describes, the things he suffered for the gospel and the cause of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And there were those opposed to Paul in the church at Corinth. He reminds them of what he had suffered, what he had endured for the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel. He says in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, and in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And you see from those words that Paul the Apostle was one who suffered much. He endured much for Christ and for the gospel, the going forward of God's kingdom. My, he was a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul wanted Timothy to be, a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And dear believer in Christ, this is what God wants you and I to be, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You think of a soldier in the army. That soldier endures much. There is separation. There is fatigue. There is tiredness. There's the forsaking of the comforts of home and family. There's the facing of the enemy, the fighting and the battle. And people of God, that reminds us how we must be willing to endure and to suffer loss for Christ. My, someone has once said, it costs to follow the Lord. We're to be those who take up the cross and to follow the Lord. We are to endure hardness as good soldiers for Jesus Christ. No matter how hard the battle may be, no matter how hard the age might be in which we live, and we live in a wicked, ungodly age, despite that, you are to go on serving God and go on living for Christ. But as well as enduring trial and hardship, notice something else there from verse 4. As God's people, as good soldiers in Christ, we must be disciplined. We must live loose to the things of this world. Look at verse 4. Paul says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Oh, Christian, don't allow yourself to be ensnared with the things of this world. That's what Paul is saying there, to be a good soldier. Don't follow the standards of this evil, ungodly world. Do not follow the fashions and the ways of this evil world. But be separate from the evils of this ungodly world in which we live. Yes, in the world we are not to be like the world. But we're not to be entangled, caught up with the ungodly, wicked ways of this world. The Bible says to the Christian, be not conformed to the world. The Bible says to the Christian, abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh, you and I go through this life, we're not to be ensnared by the evil ways of this world. There's a lot of Christians today have the mindset that you must live like the world and be like the world if you're to do anything for God. Well, that teaching is contrary to Scripture. God's people are called out of the world out of darkness. They're to be different. Oh, we're not to live like monks or hermits, but in the world, in the workplaces, in our homes, in our communities, in the society where we live, there we are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are to be different. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're not to be entangled, tied up, and held down and held fast by the things of this world. Yes, the believer is called to be a good soldier. The believer is called to be strong in the grace of Christ. Notice something else in this picture. Notice thirdly that as an athlete, the believer is to live by the rules of God. Look at verse 5 there of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul goes on and he says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Paul here is thinking of the Grecian Games. And our modern equivalent is the Olympic Games. And in the Grecian Games, anyone who broke the rules, they failed to win. They were disgraced. They were punished. Paul here uses a thought to remind Timothy, indeed every believer, that they all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day to be rewarded for their faithfulness to God or to suffer loss. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, it says to the Christian, "Every man's work shall be made manifest in the fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." What's the teaching there for you and I as believers? Teaching is this, believer, if you and I are to be rewarded in heaven for our faithfulness to Christ, then we must faithfully strive according to God's rule. And the rules of God's Word that we find in the Scriptures. The testimony of David was that he could say of God's Word, "The Word of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." He could say, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Oh, as God's people, we must yield to God's truth. This is what it means, Christian, for you to strive faithfully and diligently as an athlete for God, so to speak, in this scene of time, as you run your race for God. Yes, as an athlete, the believer must live by the rule of God's Word. Notice something else here. Fourthly, we can say this morning that as a laborer, the believer must work for a harvest. He must work for a harvest. Look at verse 6. Paul goes on and he says, "The husbandman," that's the farmer, the gardener, the laborer, the worker. He says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit." He talks about the husbandman laboring. And here Paul brings before Timothy the thought of labor, the thought of hard work. You think of the farmer in the field. Before he can reap a harvest, work must be done in that field. The ground must be plowed up. The soil must be cultivated. The seed must be sown. The crop must be tended to throughout the growing season before a harvest can be gathered. There is labor and there is toil in all kinds of weathers. Likewise, the picture here is that God's work involves toil. God's work involves labor. We're not to sit back and to be armchair Christians. We're not to be fireside lawyers in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Think of what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 in the verse 9. He said, "For we are laborers together with God." He spoke of the Christian there being a laborer for God. Christian, let me say to you this morning, if you want to see blessing here in your church in Market Hill, you must labor for God. And through the witness and through the work of the church and its outreach in this community, you must be willing to labor and to toil for God. And that labor means being faithful in the place of prayer. Paul said, "Continue in prayer." We need to be at the prayer meeting, seeking God's face for His help and blessing. This means, dear Christian, laboring in the sowing of the gospel and doing all you can to spread God's Word into the community. The Bible says, "Sow beside all waters." The psalmist says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." That speaks of a man going forth to work, to labor and toil. And Christian, if God has called you to this work, here's where you are to labor for God first and foremost. and put your back and your shoulder to the work of God. And do all you can to spread the gospel and advance the cause of Christ in this community and in this area. Turn with me, please, back to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter number 5. Look with me, please, at verse number 23. Here's a very solemn verse. This is the song of Deborah. But in this verse 23 of Judges chapter 5, she speaks of those who would not help her in her work for God and in her battle with the enemies of God. And I want you to see very carefully and very solemnly what she says about them in verse number 23 of Judges chapter 5. She says, "Curse ye Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof." Notice these words. "Because they came not to the help of the Lord." To the help of the Lord against the mighty. What an indictment. Not willing to help the cause of the Lord in the day of battle and the day of adversity. God forbid that that should be said of us as believers. Not willing to help the Lord, the cause of God, the cause of Christ in this community and further afield as the Lord would lead. Oh, dear people of God, you and I have been saved to be laborers for God in our day and generation. Yes, the Christian is a laborer. He is an athlete. He's to be a good soldier. He's to be strong in the grace of God. Notice something else here from 2 Timothy chapter number 2. As a student, the believer is to be skillful in the word of the Lord. Go down to verse 15 of 2 Timothy in the chapter number 2. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." Paul here was telling Timothy to give himself to the study of God's word, to make place in his life for the word of God. And you know that the same applies to every believer. Christian, if you are to be steadfast for God, you must give place to the word of God in your life. Take time to read it. Take time to study it. Take time to pray over it. David said the word of God was more important than his necessary food. It was just as important as his meals. And we all love our food, our breakfast, our dinner, our lunch, our supper, whatever. But people, we need that spiritual food. And Christian, you need to feed your soul day by day on the word of God if you're to be strong and steadfast for Him. And I've seen it over the years that the Christian who is not grounded in the word of God, that Christian will not be steadfast. But as it says in the Bible, they'll be blown about with every wind of false doctrine and every wind of false teaching. Oh, dear Christian, be a student of God's Word. Study God's Word. Read God's Word. Give time to it in your life day by day. Look it up. Listen to what Christ said in John chapter 5, verse 39. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me." Take time to study and look up the Word of God. Look it up. Let it into your heart. You think of what Paul said to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3:16. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Christian, you're not to let what is in the papers dwell in your heart, or what's in the internet, or what's in the news. Those are not the things that you and I are to let dwell in our heart. But God says in His word, let the word of God, the word of Christ, the Scriptures of truth, dwell richly in your heart and your soul day by day. Oh, take time to think and to study over God's Word. And then something else, we must live it out. Paul, writing to Titus, said, "Adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Be ye doers of the Word." Christian, live out what you learn, what you hear from God's Word. This is the way to serve God effectively, to live for His glory. Notice something else here in 2 Timothy 2, that as a vessel, the believer must be holy. He must be consecrated for God to use. Look at verse 20 and verse 21 of the chapter. Paul says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And here Paul is showing Timothy that his life must be clean, must be holy, must be clean from sin, consecrated to the Lord's service, available for God to use. Dear Christian, the same applies to you and I as well as God's people. Our lives must be sanctified, as it says, are meet for the Master's use. Look at what Paul says at the end of verse 19 of the chapter. He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Bible says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Writing to the church at Corinth, Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's how God wants you and I to live in the scene of time. As well as being holy, our lives must be consecrated to God's service. In other words, set apart for God to use. Turn with me back there to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and look with me at the question that you find at the end of verse number 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and the end of verse number 5, the question is asked, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? That word consecrate really means to fill one's hands full. The thought here is having hands full for the service of the Lord and in the service of Christ. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the service of the Lord? Tell me, Christian, is that the burden of your heart, that your hands day by day might be full of for the service of God? The hymn writer says, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Christian, realize that you have only one life. Let that life be used by God. Let that life be used for God. Notice one final thing here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 regarding the picture of the Christian. Notice finally that as a servant, the believer must be gracious with others. For look at what Paul said to Timothy in verse 24, in verse 25 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves of God, peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. You notice that word strive there in verse number 24. Paul says the servant of the Lord must not strive. That word strive literally means to make war. That's really what the word strive there means. And as the servant of the Lord, Timothy here, Paul was telling him not to be contentious. In other words, he was to be gentle. He was to be of a peaceable spirit. He was to be of a gracious nature, a gracious disposition in his dealings with others. And dear child of God, let me say to you in the meeting this morning, this is the manner by which you and I also are to serve the Lord in our day and generation. You know, sadly, there are some Christians, and it's their way or no way. They are contentious. That's their manner. That's the spirit. Well, that's not the example that you and I are to follow in this scene of time as we live for Christ. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Paul was a faithful servant of God. And he stood for the word of God, but he was gentle in his dealings, even with the problems of sin in the church at Corinth. Again, think of what the psalmist David says in Psalm number 18 to the Lord. He says, thy gentleness have made me great. And David was a man who knew the gentleness of Christ in his life. He did not seek to be contentious for the sake of being contentious. Oh, dear child of God, let me say to you this morning, that's the example you and I are to follow. Follow the example of Paul in this. Follow the counsel of Paul here to Timothy. Follow the example of David, but I take you to one far greater today than David, far greater than Paul. I take you today to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He say to you and I and all His people at the end of Matthew chapter 11? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's how God wants you and I to live and to serve Him. Oh, believer, this is the pattern for your life and for my life and for us as the people of God, as we seek to live for God and to serve His cause in our day and generation. Praise God, there is grace to follow that pattern. How do we know that? Go back to the very first verse of our chapter, our text for this morning. Paul said here to Timothy, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He set before Timothy all these things and this pattern to follow. I'm sure Timothy wondered, how can I follow this pattern? How can I rise up, as it were, to the challenge of this counsel from Paul? The answer is found there in that opening verse. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Dear believer, there's grace to live for God. Grace to be a witness for Him in the home, in the workplace, in the community, in God's work, in the time of trial, the time of difficulty, wherever. The Lord says to you and I and to all His people, He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Day by day may we learn to rest upon His grace, that we might have that living epistle known and read of all men, and be a bright and a shining light for our Savior and for our Lord. Let us bow together in prayer, please, this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us today, and for the lessons that we've been learning, Lord, from Thy Word. Help each and every believer in Christ in this meeting this morning to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We realize, O God, that we have no strength in ourselves. But Father, we thank Thee that our strength is in the Lord. For any with us today and they're not saved, oh, that this very day they might come, trust the Lord as their Savior, and know the abundance of Thy saving grace and power in their life. Oh, God, bless us as we wait around the table of the Lord. For any who cannot stay this morning, give them traveling mercies. And bless us throughout the remainder of this Thine own day. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen.